In the earliest centuries of the church, the Christians were facing intermittent waves of persecution. And so the main concern of the church at that time was to endure the persecution, to provide faithful witness to God, make sure their lives matched up with the profession of Christ. But when persecution ceased under Constantine and Christianity became an acceptable faith, then the church began to grapple with various doctrinal controversies. And the very first issue or controversy the church had to grapple with and resolve by studying the scriptures and coming together in council had to do with the person of Christ. Was Christ truly God, and was Christ truly man? Now, this was a very difficult issue in the early centuries of the church because the dominant culture throughout the Roman Empire was Hellenistic or Greek-influenced culture. And the Greeks tended to connect evil to matter. Evil was connected to matter, and therefore they tended to see salvation as escaping from matter, escaping away from the material world. And so the idea of God becoming man, which is what's involved in the incarnation of Christ, was a very difficult concept to them. It was kind of repulsive on its face. It seemed very ungodlike for God to become a man, for God to take on a material body. It just seemed like something that would be an insult to God. It would be beneath God. It is not something that God would do if God is truly God. That's the way they thought about it. And so it was a difficult issue, and there was a tendency, therefore, to accommodate that, to either go one way or the other, to either say, well, Christ was God, and he took on the appearance of a man. Or else, Christ was truly man, and the best man who has ever lived, who was very close to God, but he wasn't actually God. Well, the Christian church came to confess that even though it is something that we cannot fully explain exactly how it happens, the scriptures clearly teach, and Jesus clearly presented himself as being both, not part God and part man, but 100% God and 100% man joined together in one person. And it is in that way and in that person that he lived for us, he suffered for us on the cross, he died for us on the cross, he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, all on our behalf to give us salvation in him. And one of the things the church came to see is not only was this what Jesus taught, not only was this what the scriptures taught, but it was also essential to salvation. If you took away either Jesus, his full godness, or his full manness, salvation collapsed. Because if Jesus wasn't fully God, if he was not born not of a human father, but of the Holy Spirit overshadowing the Virgin Mary, then Jesus was not free of Adam's sin. He was not free of the curse of death. And he was in no position to be the Savior for anyone. Furthermore, his death would not have the infinite worth that it does if Jesus is God. And so if you took away the full godness of God, Jesus couldn't be our Savior, which means we're still in our sin and we are not delivered. But by the same token, they found that if Jesus wasn't fully man, if there was any respect in which Jesus was less than fully man, then Jesus couldn't fully save us. Jesus could only save us to the extent that he was one of us in every way except for sin. And so he had to be fully man to fully save us. And so the church found not only did Scripture clearly teach the full godness and the full humanity of Jesus, it was also absolutely necessary for our salvation.